morning, Harvest Time. Good morning. This morning, we're worshiping the God that never lost a battle. Is that the God that you serve? That's our God. Amen. So let's go.
You go before. for us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadow. You win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power. Check it out, church.
Oh, mighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows. You win every battle.
Nothing can stand against the power. Trust in your power. We trust that you can do anything you want to do. You're the one that makes the way when there's no way. You're the one that opens doors that when there are no doors. We trust in Jesus. We trust you, and you are in this place this morning.
You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. Promise keep, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. You are. Waymaker, miracle work. Promise keep, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. You are here. You are here. Touching every I worship you, yes we do. I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here. You are here, turning lives around. Yes, you are.
All my life you have been so. Every breath that I am made, I receive of the goodness of God.
I think we need to sing this again.
The goodness of God, I will sing of the goodness of God, I will sing of the goodness of
give it a shout of praise one more time in this place this morning. Hallelujah. It's so good to see you this morning. If you can turn around, greet one another, and you may be seated.
We're so glad you're joining us. Whether you're in person or online, here are a few things you need to know. There are a lot of great things happening at Harvest Time. Here are a few ways you can get involved right now. To check out all things that are going on, scan the QR code or visit htchurch.com.
Have you joined one of our serve teams? We have a lot of opportunities for you to get involved. Scan the QR code or visit our Connect desk in the lobby to find out more.
If you'd like to give, you can visit us at htchurch.com. Click on Give at the top of the page or use the Realm Connect app to set up reoccurring giving or give at any time using the Harvest Time offering envelope.
We have so many opportunities to believe, belong, and be light. For more information on all things Harvest Time, see us at the Connect desk. We love you, Harvest Time Church. Have a great week.
Hi, Harvest Time. My name is Rosanna, and I'm here to share some exciting news. We are heading to Indonesia for our summer missions trip this year. The dates are July 20th to August 1st, and ministry opportunities include medical, children, and prayer teams. If you're feeling just a little tug on your heart and you love people and have a heart to serve, please come to our interest meeting on January 22nd, right after our second service for more information. Make it a great Sunday, Harvest Time.
God bless you. Good morning, everyone. It's great to see you. Welcome to Harvest Time Church. We're so glad that you've come to worship the Lord with us today. Didn't our worship team do a good job leading us this morning? We're glad you're here. I just want to say about the upcoming missions trip to Indonesia. I've been there to Bali with our friend Don Butera, who was just with us a few weeks back. And if you have not yet been on a Harvest Time missions trip, I want to tell you, it truly is a life-changing experience and a wonderful opportunity. And so just pray about that. And if you'd like to know more information, you can join that information meeting next week. We want to thank you for honoring the Lord with your giving today. And we want to thank you for your loving financial support of Harvest Time Church. Your tithe is the first 10%. Of what the Lord has entrusted to you. We want to thank you for supporting the work of missions, the spread of the gospel here at home and all around the world, and for your giving to our building fund. You can use the offering envelope to give today. You can use the envelope to give by credit card or by debit card. If you are giving that way, just want to remind you to complete all the information and remember to include that three-digit code on the front or the back of your credit card. That way, Ethel, our bookkeeper, doesn't have to hunt you down this week to find that three-digit code. If you're giving by cash, you want credit for that, just slip it in the offering envelope, write your information on the outside, or slip your check in the offering envelope. You can give by text, and the information for that is on the screen. You can also find that in your bulletin. Want to welcome everybody that's worshiping with us online this morning at this 9 o'clock service. You can make a gift to Harvest Time Church anytime online at our website, htchurch.com. Just click on the giving link on the top of the homepage, and it'll guide you in making a secure gift online. Just before the ushers come to wait on us this morning, a couple things for you. First of all, we launched our new season, our winter semester of life groups this last week. How many of you were part of a life group? Lots of folks. We have so many great groups going all throughout the week. On Wednesday evenings, Pastor Denise and I are doing a new group based on the hit series, The Chosen. And we had about almost 50 people downstairs. Great time of discussion. We're watching an episode a week, and then we're sharing some different bits of information about the life of Christ, and a great time of discussion. You're welcome to join us on the lower level. Pastor Nick is teaching here on the sanctuary about things to come. There's a women's professional group, and lots of different things happening all over the building on Wednesday evenings and groups meeting throughout the week. Our friend Dr. Joe Vitieri is doing a series on the month of January on health and wellness, fitness. He has two down and two to go. And if you have not yet attended one of those, I want to encourage you. This coming Saturday, there's another one, and you can find information about that on our website. Joanne Caraprisi, our choir director, has asked me to let you know that choir is coming up. How many of you enjoyed the Christmas choir? They were absolutely amazing. We would love for you to be part of the Good Friday choir. We want to fill up the choir, and we want to fill up the sanctuary on Good Friday and just have a wonderful celebration of Jesus. And so choir auditions are going to be on February 2nd, and then choir rehearsal is going to start on Thursday, February 9th. And we'd love for it. By the way, let me tell you, choir is a tremendous evangelistic tool. Join the choir. And then you can invite your family, you can invite your friends, you can invite your this works, it really works. You can just tell them, hey, I'm singing in my church's choir on Good Friday, would you come and hear me? And I want to tell you, they will come, and they not only get to hear you, they'll get to hear the gospel. And so we want you to be part of Good Friday choir. We hope you'll join that. Very, very important. Pathways Ministry is resuming this coming Tuesday evening. Pathways has been on a little bit of a hiatus, and we're so grateful to Pastor Faith and to her team of leaders. They are bringing Pathways back on Tuesday evenings. Pathways is for people who are struggling with hurts, habits, and hang-ups, helping you to get victory in Christ. So many people have been so transformed through Pathways over the years, and we're super excited to have Pathways back. And so if you'd like to be part of that, you can scan the QR code in your bulletin and sign up to be part of that. Gonna ask the ushers to come wait on us. King Solomon wrote, "One man gives freely, yet grows, he gains even more. Another withholds unduly and comes to poverty. A generous man will prosper, and he who refreshes others shall himself be refreshed." How many of you know the word of the Lord is true? Amen. Let's just give thanks as we give back to the Lord this morning. Father, We thank you that you lavished your very best on us in Jesus. You didn't withhold the best that you had. You offered him up for us freely. Freely we've received. So freely we give back to you today with glad and sincere hearts, tithes, offerings, missions giving, building fund giving. Father, would you bless these loaves and fishes? Would you cause them to be more than enough to meet the need of this, your house, and the work of your kingdom all around the world? Father, bless every giver in this offering today. Open the windows of heaven, just like you said you would do. If your heart agrees with that, would you say amen and amen? God bless you while you give.
He inspired us to think about freedom. Freedom for all people. He inspired us to visualize freedom. Freedom in every land. He inspired us to fight for freedom. Freedom to stand up as one. He inspired us to be free. Free as all God's children. Let freedom ring as we bring the good news to the poor. Let freedom ring as we love our neighbors as ourselves. Let freedom ring, for sin has no dominion over us. Let freedom ring, for we are saved by grace. Let freedom ring, for Christ has set us free. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. This is our hope. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together as all God's children from every state and every city to join hands and sing, free at last. We thank God we are free at last.
We celebrate the legacy of Dr. King, and we pray that what he strove for, equality and the end of hatred in our country, we pray that God brings it about in our day. Well, just before the start of this new year, the Holy Spirit spoke to me three words for 2023 for Harvest Time Church. The first word was, let the prophetic flow again at Harvest Time Church. The second word was, bless the next generation. And the third word was, fill the house. And so we're working right now on that first word, let the prophetic flow again. We had an amazing time Friday night at Fire in the Night, and the Lord was just with us in a super special way this last Friday evening. But we're so glad to have a friend who flows in prophetic ministry this morning. Our friend Dennis Goldsworthy Davis is with us from Texas. Dennis was with us last January, a year ago. If you're wondering why we have a sign over our door that says, grab the heel of destiny, it's this man's fault. He gave us a prophetic instruction and we obeyed the word of the Lord and we put it up. Dennis is the pastor of Great Grace International Church and the leader of Open Wells Ministry. He travels throughout the U.S. and all around the world. I think the last time Dennis was with us, I don't think he brought books with him, but he's brought some books that he's written. He's authored a few books, and he's brought them with him. They're in the foyer, and you can take a look at that afterwards. And Dennis asked me especially for time in the service today just to minister a little bit personally to God's people. So I want you to open your heart to the word of the Lord. I know you're all cozy there in your seats, but would you stand for just a moment? Would you give your best welcome for our friend, Dennis Goldsworthy Davis?
Well, amen. How are you doing in this freezing cold place? I was born in Southern Ireland, grew up in England, and then moved to San Antonio. And, you know, every now and then we get cold weather. In fact, I live in the hill country, and when the wind blows, we get cold weather. It happens for about 3 days. And so everybody over there has got all sorts of cold weather stuff for 3 days, and then we go back to, you know, 70s. But Father, I just thank you for this church. I thank you for your intentions in this church. I thank you for what you want to do in this church. I thank you for the plans that you want to release in this church. I thank you for the visitation that you have planned for this church. And I ask, Lord, that we would be part of your release today in Jesus' name. So I had to tell Glenn, I have to tell pastors everywhere I go, because everywhere I go, they always put me in a seat that says reserved. I break that curse. There is nothing reserved about me, you'll find out. Amen? In fact, if they ever put you in a seat that says reserved, pull the reserve sticker off and say, no, 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 in Jesus' name, I'm not going back to that. I'm going to read something to you. I'm going to try to do this fast because the Bible says in Revelation 2:7, Revelation 2:17, and five other times, it says, he that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches, which means the Holy Spirit is always talking to the churches. But the problem that God has is finding people with an ear to hear. And actually, the reason we have a five-fold ministry, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, is to equip the saints to do works of service. So when you're prophetic, your job is to come in and release something in the atmosphere that enables people's ears to open afresh to the Word of God. One of the books I've brought with me is literally called Walking in the Prophetic, and showing you how to operate in the prophetic. So as I was coming in here, I didn't bring a pet sermon. I asked the Lord, what are you saying to this church? Because it's really important. So I'm going to try and bring 5 points today of what I feel that the Lord wants to say. So I'm going to use it from Genesis 26. And in Genesis 26, I'm going to read to you from verse 15. So all the wells that Isaac's father's servants had dug in the time of his father Abraham, the Philistines had stopped up, filling them with earth. Then Abimelech said to Isaac, move away from us, you've become too powerful for us. Now, wouldn't that be awesome if the world had to say, this church is just too powerful? Amen? So Isaac moved away from there and encamped in the valley of Gerar and settled there. Isaac reopened the wells that had been dug in the time of his father Abraham, which the Philistines had stopped up after Abraham died. And he gave them the same names his father had given them. Isaac's servants dug in the valley and discovered a well of fresh water there. But the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen and said, the water is ours. So he named the well Esek because they disputed with him. Then they dug another well, but they quarreled over that one also, so he named it Sitnah. He moved on from there and dug another well, and no one quarreled over it. He named it Rehoboth, saying, now the Lord has given us room, and we will flourish in the land. From there, he went up to Beersheba. That night, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bless you and will increase the number of your descendants for the sake of my servant Abraham. Isaac built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord. There he pitched a tent, and there his servants dug another well. I'm just going to read to you one more verse, and that was verse 25. And then it literally says a little bit later on, I'll quote it. His servants came to him and said, we've found another well of fresh water. So what I'm going to use is the premise of that to talk to you. For instance, in verse 22, it says Isaac moved on from there. Now, how many of you know that God wants you to always be moving? Romans 8:28 tells us that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. And everybody quotes that verse but doesn't look for the purpose. For those he foreknew, he predestined that they would be conformed to the image of his son. The word there, conform, means to become like fashioned. So God's always after bringing you further into Christ and having Christ further in you. But sometimes we get stuck there. I got picked up at London Airport once. I was actually on one of my fast goes. I ran from Ireland to Austria, and from Austria to Germany, and from Germany to London, and from London back to Austria. It was just one of those fast. And I had one day in London, and I got picked up by the pastor as I got off the plane. And one of the things I hate is when a pastor tells a prophet everything that's going on in the church. So now, how do I hear God? Because you just told me everything. And from the moment he picked me up, he just went, and I thought, oh, great. And suddenly the Lord said to me, you need to tell this church to move on from there. They're stuck in what went on. And very often in our lives, we get stuck in what went on. When the Lord spoke to Abraham in Genesis 13, 14, and we'll go there in a minute, he said, lift up your eyes from where you are. Because where you are is where you'll get stuck if you don't move. And very often Christians are stuck. Churches are stuck. They sing the same things. They do the same things. They go the same way. And God can't move them because they won't move. So I want to prophesy to you, it's time to move. Now, the first thing I want to talk to you about is five things. Number one, the Lord spoke to me very sovereignly and told me that a renewal was coming to the church again. Now, that excited me because I know what he just said. When God renews, for instance, God sent a renewal and the whole Catholic Church had a visitation. God sent a renewal and the Episcopalian Church had a visitation. God sent a renewal and the Baptist Church had a visitation. But he can't renew you as a church if he doesn't renew you as people. And you see, what happened with Isaac, he had to renew something. What was that? It said that all the wells that had flowed with when Abraham was around had been stopped up with earth. What is earth? From the earth we come to the earth we return. So flesh gets into what God has done and stops it. And so Isaac's job was to renew what God had done. He redigs the wells, verse 18. And when he redigs them, he gives them the same names that he gave, that his father gave. In other words, the renewal was to renew what God had done. Have you ever walked in anything and you're not walking in it anymore? Have you ever had a visitation where God touched you and after a period of time you seem to lose your visitation? Have you ever seen God do anything in this church and it doesn't seem to be happening anymore? I'm telling you, God wants a renewal. He wants to send a renewal into this church. And when he renews, he literally brings back that which was in order to release that which he wants to do. If you don't get renewed, you can't be ready for revive. And so literally this is what the Lord said to me. He said, I have ordered a renewal for the church. Which means it's been preset that a renewal is going to hit the churches, and I believe starting this year. But wouldn't it be great if you're a hub church of renewal? I don't know what you'll do if you get one like I think you're going to get one, because as God begins to move, what are you going to do with first and second service? I've seen first and second services where God moves so strong in the first service that everybody from the first service stays and the people from the second service can't get in. And then you have to say, well, that's your fault. If you can't get up in the morning, it's your fault. We were here first, we're having it first, and we're going to get double portions. Your choice. But I need your parking spot. Well, I'm not leaving it. Park on the grass, park on the road, park by the airport, do what you want, but I'm not going anywhere. But suddenly the Spirit of God starts to renew, because not only does he renew what he used to do, but he starts to renew passion. And suddenly passion, and it's not the worship team trying to whip you up and move you on, it's suddenly you're leading the worship team. And you won't shut up because you're so renewed. Your passion for prayer and your passion for worship and your passion for the Word of God and your passion for the things of God. Suddenly you're shouting from the pew, yes, Lord! You know, the one thing I like about living in Texas is there's some cowboys there. And every now and then they'll go, woo! I love it. Most churches I go into, you say, oh my God, we got to raise the dead again. Woo! Woo! It's moving, it's coming. Lord, let renewal hit this group of people with a passion stirs up after God. Where suddenly you're like a horse pouring to get out of the gate. Oh, passionate for God. We've got a, I don't know, probably 60% of our church is Hispanic because we're in San Antonio. And I love it when they get touched by God. They cry. Oh, Señor. Oh, you quiero más, Señor. Honestly, you can tell that I'm not quiet. I'm not quiet because the Holy Spirit touched me and I'm not a quiet person. And I go to a lot of churches and they'll say, what's wrong with you? And I say, there's nothing wrong with me. It's you. What you need is a good renewal. Not only does God renew your passions, but he renews your strength. It tells us in Isaiah 40, verse 31, that when God touches you and you wait on the Lord, he renews your strength like an eagle, which means to fly again, to see again, to flow again, to move again. Now, how many of you would just like God to do it right now and send a renewal in the first service? Don't worry about the guys coming. Worry about what's going on in here. Ooh. Hallelujah. The trouble is when you preach these things and you know God's doing them, you want to lay hands on yourself. I haven't got time to wait for you. Bust, let God hit me. The second thing I want to say is this, that God wants to enlarge you this year. See, God is a God of growth. Be fruitful and multiply and replenish, which means God believes in growth. You know, as Jabez, remember that prayer of his when he came to the Lord and he said, Lord, I want you to enlarge my borders. Well, God said to me, this is a year of enlargement. Number one, he wants to enlarge your heart. Psalm 119, verse 32. Enlarge my heart that I might run the way of your commands. Give me a greater capacity, Lord, for the things of God. Shout it out. Give me a greater capacity, Lord, for the things of God. Enlarge my heart. But Lord, more than enlarge my heart, like Jabez, enlarge my borders. What does that mean? Enlarge my influence. God wants this church to have a greater realm of influence. And you say, well, we've already got a good one, yeah, but not the one that the Lord wants you to have. He wants you to have a greater capacity. He wants you to have a greater anointing. He wants you to have a greater realm of influence in this region. He wants you to influence every place he wants you to go. And the Lord is prophesying enlargement, but I can't go beyond you. What's the point of Pastor Glenn having more doors open if he doesn't have the anointing to walk through the doors? So the Lord wants to enlarge his anointing and your anointing. How many of you would love to have a greater anointing? Then according to the promises of God, God has predestined that you be conformed to the image of his Son, which means he's predestined, pre-written, that you should walk in the same realms of anointing, carrying the same influence in God. Now, you think about that. This is a showstopper because you can't have a greater influence under the anointing unless you let the anointing touch you. And how many of you know that sometimes you have to do something about that? God declares his intentions, but we must respond. And my friend that's with me, Homer, he used to be a fireman. And they're called the first responders. The first responders always go out. I'm always looking for the first responders. See, when you run in the anointing that I have, you start to minister to people, and I look around congregations as I'm going to see who the first responders are. And there's always someone you'll see the Spirit of God begin to move on. Like last week, I was in Lubbock, Texas, and the church was 50%, at least 50% African. as I'm ministering and I'm just watching, about the third row where you are, ma'am, just suddenly there, I see a black brother start to go, oh God, oh God. I could see the Holy Spirit coming on him as I'm talking. And I was talking on a touch of God. And I could see it and I was watching him. I said, I think you want more of God. He said, I do. So I said, do you want to come up here? He said, I do. And I've got this prayer that I just pray now. I always use my left hand. I just say, touch him, Lord. Bang, God hits this guy. He's out for 25 minutes under the power of the Spirit. Boom, electricity shoots into the auditorium because our first responder responded. And you might be saying, no, I come to the early service so I can get in and get out. You've come to the wrong early service. But where's the first responder? Sometimes the first responder is the pastor. Sometimes the pastor's the hardest person to pray for in the world because he has to keep the look. But I've watched the way he's dressed. I don't think he cares about the look. But you've got to be a responder. You've got to hear what God is intending and respond to it. That's why Paul says these words, I press in to take hold of what God has put in me. The word he uses there is katalambano. God took hold of me. God literally punched into my chest a vision. And when he punched into my chest the vision, I reached back up and I said, I will take hold. I will press in. The word press there is the word that is used for hunt. I will become a hunter. I will hunt down that promise. I'll hunt down that purpose. I'll hunt down that new anointing. I gotta have what God says I'm gonna have. Honestly, I think the church is too caught up in the old song. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be. The future's not ours to see. Que sera, sera. What a load of rubbish. Sera is the Spanish word to be. Doris Day passed away recently, and now she's in heaven, and she knows the song was wrong. Because this is what God says, I have a future for you, I have a purpose for you, and I'm going to let you know by dream, by vision, by prophetic word, what that is, so that you go after it. But most of the churches, okay, sirrah, sirrah, whatever will be. The future's not ours to see. See, a real prophetic people is more salsa. Oh, Lord. See, I don't know if you're more waltzy or if you're more salsery or if you're just a plain moving church. But when there's something gets a hold of you, see, R.W. Shambach used to say this, I said something has got a hold of me. And until something gets a hold of you, you are a passionless person. But when something gets a hold of you, you'll move from the back to the front. You won't even need an appeal, you'll make the appeal. Have you noticed in church we're always so nice? You know, the seats are nice. It's pleasant. You know, you could sit here and just say, I think I could take at least 10 more minutes of his preaching. Because the seats are so nice. Do you know what my dream is? It's to put electrodes in the seats. I would choose certain seats in the auditorium, and I would wait for them to realize, oh, this is good, and just go, what, Jesus? Yes, I know it was a good point. And I would put them where the deadest people sit, you know. Ah! Yeah, amen. And then really give it a pure voice. Ah! Oh, yeah. Oh, 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 yeah. Oh, oh. Moving in God. Moving in God. But what happens if the Holy Ghost becomes your electrode? What happens is you get so touched and so enlarged in your spirit. We're told in Isaiah 54 to stretch your tent curtains wide. Why? So that there's more room for what God wants to do. Do it in spirit. Just go like this. I want more room for what God is wanting to do in me. This year is a year of renewal. This year is a year of enlargement in this church. Third thing I want to share with you, it's a year of re-envisioning. In Genesis 13, 14, the Lord says to Abraham, or is Abraham as we want to call him, he says to him, I want you to lift up your eyes from where you are. I want you to look north, south, east, and west, and everything you see is yours. And whatever is yours is your children's and your children's children. I want you to see more. And the problem is where we are. And how many of you know that you are where you are because you came from somewhere to get here? So you either are culturally, you are spiritually, you are, whatever you've walked through brings you to where you are. In Abraham's particular moment, he had just lost Lot. And Lot had departed from him, so he's a bit down. And the Lord has to say to him, lift up your eyes from where you are. You see, I come from Ireland originally, which is a small island. There's only 6 million people that live in the whole of Ireland, north and south. But Ireland, if you watch it, there's Irish people all over the world. Why? Because they're not staying where they are. Then I come to England. England and Ireland have got a culture. I've found in America you've got multicultural. You don't have a one culture. But your culture often dictates how you respond. So anybody here, before you touch the Holy Spirit or the Holy Spirit touched you, anybody here from another denomination? So throw one at me. Baptist, Catholic, Methodist. And you don't even know that you think the way you think and you behave the way you behave because of what it is that you've been taught you should be. We had a move of God hit our church and it literally started in 1994 and went on a whole year. And we opened the church up 7 days a week for ministry to people. But there was a black brother in the church, and he'd been raised in the Church of God or something. And when the Spirit of God hit, he hit, first of all, in joy. And there was such joy exploding, but he was very concerned. Because he had been raised that you don't laugh in church, it's rude, but here's the pastor rolling on the floor laughing. And so I get up to explain to the church how the visitation started, and the joy of the Lord is hitting the whole church but this one man. And his culture said, you don't laugh in church. So he got deliberately up from where he was and came to the platform to kneel at the platform to pray this stupidity, get off the pastor. But the problem was the pastor, which was me, is so anointed that the anointing came from the head, down the beard, on the garment, to the shoes. Went running from the shoes off the edge of the platform. And this brother is kneeling down saying, oh God, oh Father, oh God, stop this. When he suddenly went, oh God, oh God, ah, oh God, ah! He got so drunk in the spirit, they had to pick him up and carry him out. His culture said, I can't go there. His upbringing said, I can't go there. I can't go there. And I'm saying to you, God wants to take you from where you are and show you a lot more than you've ever seen. But you've got to have eyes to see. You've got to shake off your culture. You've got to shake off your past. Now, come on, you've heard my accent. Didn't you think that we were... I love this, by the way. People always come up to me and say, I detect an accent. I mean, amazing. What are you flowing in something now? But here's the funny thing, so do I. When you talk to me, I detect an accent. But how many of you ever heard that the British are, you know, rather reserved? You've heard it, haven't you? And, you know, and the British will stiff upper lip. like he was Prince Charles, like King Charles. Did you ever see that clip where he was in America and he was giving a speech? And he was playing with his cufflinks, and he was all talking like this because of how the royals talk. And they do this with their lip. And he was talking, and suddenly in the crowd, a gun goes off. The gun goes off, and because he's British, he goes... In America, the Secret Service are diving, and people with guns coming out, and he just went... I've been in churches like that. How come I'm not like that? Because God isn't British. God the Holy Spirit is God the Holy Spirit. And when he touches you and he gets hold of your vision, see, he said to him, look north, south, east, and west. I don't want you just to look the way you've been looking with blinkers or blinders on your eyes. I want you to see what I want you to see so that when you've seen what I want you to see, you can become who I want you to become. And so what God wants you to do is from where you are, start to look again and say, Lord, what do you have for me? What do you have for this church? What are you saying, Lord? I'm looking. When the Lord took Elijah from Elisha, Elijah had told Elisha, you have to see me when I go. Start looking. I've got two more to go. It's got to be fast. This is a warm-up. If you watch Isaac, he started off by renewal. And then if you watch Isaac, he enlarged his borders by digging another well and another well. Then if you watch Isaac, the vision drove him on from there. Verse 23 says, from there he went up. He couldn't stay where he was because he was driven by vision. Then in verse 24, it says, the Lord appeared to him. What happened? He moved on and God could visit him. He gave him an encounter. Now I'm prophesying to you that God has an encounter for this church this year. It's going to start with a renewal, but you must understand that when Jesus Christ was born, people miss this. He was born in an encounter. The moment he was born, the glory of the heavens shone upon the people. Angels turned up. There was a visitation. And from the moment that Jesus was born, all he brought was encounters. When he ministered on the earth, he brought encounter after encounter after encounter. When he died on the cross, he brought an encounter. When he was raised from the dead, he brought another encounter. And he released the Holy Spirit, who doesn't know how not to bring encounters, because that's who he is. In other words, God has an encounter, a visitation for people in this church. How many people in this church say, oh no, I've had enough encounters. I don't need any more encounters. Or how many people want something fresh in encountering God? I want to prophesy. I don't even know what's going to happen in the second service because I've asked if I can minister to people. But I carry an anointing. And the anointing I carry touches people. And I've seen God, the Holy Spirit, hit people who are addicted to drugs. And then the Spirit of God hits them. I've seen them delivered by the power of God. Boom, in a second. How many want that kind of encounter? You see, that's what God has for you. That's not just for Glenn. It's not just for the big shots on TV. It's for you. You are the people of God. You are the sons of God. God wants to encounter you. This church is being set up by God for an encounter if you'll have it. Because you know that every time there's an encounter, God takes you somewhere you've never been before. That's four. That's pretty good, Glenn. I'm doing pretty good. Number five. Out of all these things I told you, God wants to birth a fresh well in this church. As God told me, I knew that it had been mentioned in this church. He wants to birth a fresh well. What is a fresh well? It is where whatever you touch of the life of God is then welled up so that others can drink of it. You see, when God touches something, water springs up. Then men create the well. And it tells us in Psalm 86 that even when we go through hard times, we can make it wells of flowing water. And then God comes and pours rain upon the well. so that others can have it. It means that whatever God brings in, it will be part of the flow. You, I prophesy, are like an oasis. An oasis is where water flows up and it creates a place where people can drink. But the oasis of Elim had 12 different springs in it. And I am telling you, the growth that God wants to bring into this church is that, yes, you were this, yes, you were that, yes, you had this, yes, you had. But what he wants to do is to bring another flow of the Spirit into this church that you will well up that others can drink from. He says the call of this church is to not be selfish. Am I right? The call of this church is to share. Am I right? The call of this church is to minister to others. Therefore, God says, I can trust you that when I bring something among you, you will bring it to others and bring others to it. The Lord says, I want you to become an oasis where this well springs up that other people can drink what's going on in here. That's going to have to take away a lot of selfishness. So the summary is that God wants to do something great in your church. No, the summary is you are the church. He can't do it in your church if he can't do it in you. So my job this morning was to warm you up. The seats are warm, so when people come in, why is this seat so warm? Oh man, the fire of God is in this house. So all I want you to do is stand up where you are. I want you to raise your hands. I'm going to release a prophetic spirit into the house. I command right now that the flow of the prophetic start like a wave of God to come into this house. I'm literally hearing a scripture to prophesy. Deep is calling to deep. Deep is beginning to stir up a cry in the middle of this house. And the roar of the waterfall of God, of what he wants to pour out, is now going to start being heard in the ears of the people. The Spirit of God says, open your ears because I'm going to cause you to hear the next roar of God. And then I hear this, and all your waves and breakers have broken over me. Which means God wants to release what he's doing, not only in the prophetic, but he wants to release it into reality. All I'm doing with you now is releasing a prophetic spirit where you lift your hands and you say, God, me. Go on, shout it out. Me. Shout these words. I want renewal. I want renewed passion. I want renewed vision. Oh my God, enlarge me. Enlarge this church. Release your anointing in this church. Oh God, let another well break open in this church. Touch my vision. Touch my heart. The time won't let me go too far, but listen, my brother standing on the front row, don't know who you are, but I know that you've worked, you've served the Lord for years, you've carried him for years. Well, the Lord told me to tell you that there's an anointing coming on you. There's an anointing coming on you. The power of God is going to hit you in a new way. Why is that? Because God wants to use you afresh. There's an anointing coming on you. There's an anointing. There's an anointing coming on you. There's an anointing coming on you. There's an anointing coming on you. Worship team, there's an anointing coming on you. Freshness of the Spirit, fall. Now, I can't minister to everybody because of the second service, but I can do it by just releasing it. You see that? There's an anointing. I carry an anointing. God wants you to be touched by an anointing that will break something open in your life. Go on, get passionate for a moment. Cry out for a moment. Say, my God, I want this too. I want it, Lord. I thirst for it, Lord. Stir me up, oh God. Stir me up. Come on, stir me up, oh God. Oh God. Oh my God, I must not. Beautiful passion on this dear girl here. All over the auditorium. Go for God. You got about 5 minutes to get God all over you. Come on, Lord, release it all over the place. Release it all over the place. Touch her.
touch ya, touch ya, touch ya, touch ya. Oh, kabaravara. Touch these people, Lord. Touch them. Touch him. 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 Oh, God. Touch them. Touch him, Lord. Touch him with the power of God. Touch him. Touch ya. Touch ya. Oh, kabaravara. Touch ya. Touch ya. Touch ya. Touch ya. Touch this young man, Lord. Touch him. Touch ya. Touch ya. Oh, Spirit of God, touch ya! Touch ya! My Lord! Break open in this place, Lord! Oh, God, touch ya! Touch ya with your glory! Touch ya! Touch ya! Touch ya! More!
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You know, when the angel appeared to Mary, her response was, "Let it be to me, Lord, as you have said." Can you just make that response? Would you just lift up your hands? You just say, "Lord, let it be unto me as you've said, Lord. Let it be unto me as you've said, Lord." Come on, let's say it together corporately. Let it be unto us as you have said, Lord. Let it be unto us. Let it be unto harvest time. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We're going to dismiss this service in just one moment. Dennis wanted me to let you know that at the end of the next service, he's going to be ministering personally over people. And so if you want to stay and do a double-double, you can go downstairs and get a donut and a coffee. And, you know, that's all right. The second service people, they'll find a place to sit. But if you want to stay for more ministry, you're welcome to do that. Just before we dismiss, I want to say happy birthday to Pastor Raphael. He has a landmark birthday. And I'm not going to say what the number is, but it rhymes with sporty. So he's very sporty. And happy birthday, Pastor Raphael. We love you. We love Pastor Lara. We thank you. Professor Glauco, what a wonderful joy to have you at the piano today. Thank you for being here to pray with us. Come on, let's just give thanks. Father, we just anticipate. Lord, we anticipate what you're going to do. Father, we open our hearts, Lord. Let it be unto us, God, as your servant has said. Father, I pray that your peace, Lord, would go with every person. Lord, I pray that your presence would surround us. I pray, Lord, that there would be an increase in hearing your voice this week. Lord, visit your people in dreams. Lord, in visitations. Lord, speak to your people. Watch over us until we come together again. And everybody said, amen and amen. God bless you, everybody. If you'd like to stay for the next service, you're welcome to do that. God be with you.